This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's great to welcome back now Steve Palazzolo. He's a senior analyst for Pro Football Focus. He contributes to ESPN.com as well. And taking a look at that Niner game now, Steve, it's interesting. The first thing that popped into my head were the rumors a couple of years ago that the Niners were trying to trade Jim Harbaugh to the Browns before that 8-8 season, and we kind of laughed it off. But now looking at what happened, I guess maybe those rumors perhaps were true.
Yeah, maybe they should have tried to get something in return for Harbaugh and, you know, built up with some draft picks or something. It is an interesting storyline in a game that I don't think is getting it doesn't have a lot of publicity, I think, around the league today.
Well, a lot of people, of course, are going to be looking at Manziel as his rise and fall and now rise again, as he was told a few weeks ago, hey, it's yours the rest of the way, and no, you're third string. Okay, now you're starting again. But I liked what the coordinator, DeFilippo, said, and we know him out here when he was a quarterback coach in Oakland, but the OC there, Flip, said, listen, if he plays these four games, I know he's 1-2 this year, two losses last year. He goes, those nine games are going to be enough for me to suss out whether he can be the quarterback here of the future or not. I know a lot of people have said, nine games, are you kidding me? That's not enough. But when you look at all the off-field problems he's caused, maybe nine games is enough to figure out whether he can do this or not. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, given the off-field stuff, they'd better have a lot of positives in those nine games to look at and say, okay, he's going to be our guy. The one positive to point to is his last game, week 10 against Pittsburgh. He played pretty well, his best game of his career. They put the ball in his hands quite a bit, passing the ball, and he did all right. I think the big thing with him is his ability to play within structure versus outside of structure. I think we know that he's a pretty good player when he gets out of the pocket and he ad-libs a little bit. I always say he has great vision. He has great vision of the field when he's moving around. He reminds me a little bit of Devin Hester, who, as a returner, I think just had that great vision to always find the play. I think Johnny has that. But as I wrote this week, only 10% of NFL plays, QBs are actually outside of the pocket making plays. So even if you give Manziel a pass and say, okay, maybe 12% or 15% of his plays will let him ad-lib, that's still 85% of the plays that he needs to learn how to win from the pocket. And he just hasn't shown an ability to do that, to, you know, read progressions and find the open man. So I'm not writing him off completely, but he definitely has to make some big strides these next few weeks to show that he's the future.
When you look at some of the matchups today, and the Browns are well, I think, 31st at stopping the run, but the Niners are like 28th in running it. I know Carlos Hyde, finally, they probably wise to just put him on IR now at this point. The correct decision, just wait till next year. But they can't stop the run, but the Niners can't run it. So is this like putting a humidifier and a dehumidifier in the same room?
Yeah, it's something has to give at this point. You know, the Browns have been really bad up front. And I think one of the things that everybody looked at the Browns coming into the season and they said, okay, the defensive line needs to improve. But they've always, the last few years, they've been a team that just couldn't get over that hump, but they played everybody close. And they've kind of lost a little bit of that this year. Their entire front seven essentially is grading negatively, other than John Hughes, particularly against the run. So I do think it is a game where the Niners can look to the running game and, you know, try to instill that toughness and attitude that I think Tom Sula wants to instill. So if there is a chance, this would be the week, because the Browns have been extremely weak up front.
Rick Tittle with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus and ESPN.com, talking about Niners at Browns today. It's also interesting, you know, the connection with that part of the world in Northeast Ohio, because remember when Jim Harbaugh kept the Niners in Youngstown to Bartolo country. And I know that when it comes to broadcasting numbers, the Niners are second to the Browns in that area. Is it kind of a pseudo home game for them?
Yeah, I didn't realize that the numbers were that close. I mean, you know, the Niners, they have a great national presence, I think, just because, you know, people in their 30s and 40s grew up watching the Niners as a dynasty. And I think a lot of people, you know, I grew up in New England. I had a lot of friends that love the 49ers because the Patriots were terrible at that time. So I think they have connections around the country because they were just so good in the 80s and 90s. And I think a lot of people have stuck with that.
Now, we talk a lot about what's going on off the field with the 49ers, and of course the Harbaugh and Roman and Fangio, those guys are all gone, all the guys who retired and quit. But then recently, the president of the Niners, not even 2 years into it, Parag Marate, he's going to keep his job being the capologist, but he's gone from football to football now that he's going to be helping the Sacramento Republic. And then Al Guido, great name, he steps in. Does this mean anything for the future of Tom Sula, or are these moves just completely as an aside to what's going on the field?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, I like to focus on the on-field product as much as possible. And when I look at that, I thought that the Niners were going to take a step back in recent years. And I think it just got exasperated by obviously the retirements, and by Harbaugh no longer being around, because I think he really elevated that team. He elevated that roster. So between the fact that they were aging at certain places, and then their best young players, or a lot of their key players, ended up retiring in their prime, I mean, that puts them well behind. And I think whoever is going to be making the decisions and building the team going forward, whoever's involved in that entire mix, it has to happen through the draft, and it has to happen with youth and a sprinkling of free agents. So I think they're just trying to find the right mix right here, because it's clearly a rebuilding situation.
Well, now when you look with the Niners, and when Blaine Gabbert taking over a month ago, 2-2 on the season, if you look at his stats last week, they weren't great. But if you watch the highlights, he looked like a hero against the Bears. But we know that the Niners are almost dead last in passing in this league right now. With Gabbert being at 500, if he can maybe go 500 the rest of the way, or have they already decided, look, whoever we get, we're just going to open camp with either a competition, or we'll say Gabbert is the starter. Has he earned that at this point?
I think Gabbert's earned the right I think he showed the league that he's a competent backup. I don't think he's the future in San Francisco or anywhere else for that matter. He came into the league in 2011 and set the bar so low for himself with just, unfortunately, just a terrible season. He looked so overmatched, and that happens a lot with young QBs. He showed signs of life the next year in 2012, was a little bit better, and then kind of regressed back again in 2013, and this is his first extended opportunity. I think the bar has been set so low for him that any competent QB play, which he's shown at times this year, almost feels like a bonus. But I don't think he's the type of guy that you're going to hit your wagon to going forward. So I do think whether it's through the draft, through free agency, there's going to be one or two more QBs in here in competition, and it's going to be a lot more than just Blaine Gabbert competing for that job.
A couple more questions for Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, ESPN.com. Rick Tittle with you, 95.7 The Game. Looking at Cap now, Colin Kaepernick, and people said, well, maybe Philly. Who knows if Kelly's even going to be there? In your mind right now, as we're talking at this point in December, where do you think Kaepernick ends up next year? Because there are some people said, well, maybe he's back with the Niners. I don't see that happening whatsoever. What happens with Cap at this point, Steve?
Yeah, I keep trying to make excuses for him, you know, because I was one of the people that jumped on his bandwagon early in 2012. I thought he just did such special things, throwing the ball and running the football. And you think, okay, if he could just progress in a couple key areas, he could be great. Just never progressed the way he needed to. I think Philly would be interesting because I think skill set wise, what Kaepernick does is he throws lasers, as we know, and he can throw lasers accurately to the intermediate level. And what the Eagles offense does, other than aside from the whole running aspect of it, what they do is they open up the middle of the field and they run crossing routes nonstop. And it's actually the type of route that I think Kaepernick can hit. And Chip has had Nick Foles, Mark Sanchez, Sam Bradford, and none of those guys can just hit these wide open passes that Chip Kelly's created in that offense. So if he is in Philadelphia or wherever he goes, I'd be interested in that fit. I don't know that it's perfect across the board, but there's a couple key elements to what Chip Kelly does that I think works well with Kaepernick. Plus, of course, the running threat, just that ability to pull and hit the edge with special speed. So I'd be interested to see those two guys working together.
One more wayward quarterback to talk to you about is Terrell Pryor. When we heard that he was signing with the Browns, we thought, well, I guess he's getting one more chance. And they said, no, strictly as a wide receiver. And we saw enough in Oakland to know that when he's in the open field, he is like a Kaepernick. He's a fantastic athlete. He's fast. We know what a great star he was at Jeanette High School back in that area of the world. So, he's fast. Yeah, he is tall, but can he get open? Can he catch passes? Is this just really taking a flyer on a guy because they're desperate, or do you think TP can get it done?
It's a flyer, but it's a worthwhile flyer. With that size and speed combination, why not see if he can take to the position? I mean, even I remember his true freshman year at Ohio State. You know, he wasn't the full-time QB, and they stuck him out wide every now and again, ran some fades to him, and he looked competent enough. So I think it's a worthwhile flyer. I don't know what they're going to get out of him. He's been in and out of camp with them, trying the wide receiver thing, and it hasn't caught on yet, but definitely worth it given that type of athleticism.
All right, fair enough. And one more question for you, Steve. When you look at Anquan Boldin, and he's 11 catches away from 1,000 in his career, but my favorite pregame stat on this matchup is he is one catch away from 50, and he would become the first player in NFL history to have at least 50 catches in his first 13 seasons. But he doesn't get the kind of love that maybe he would get if he was playing maybe in New York or maybe playing with Tom Brady. Can you just talk about Boldin and what he's been able to do and what he is going to do with his next catch?
Yeah, it's incredible. I actually didn't realize that he had 13 years, that level of consistency. He's just so good as a possession receiver. Ball skills are incredible. He's always had really good hands, you know, very few drop passes, only has two this year. He's gone through full seasons with one or two drops at a time. So if you never drop the ball, chances are you'll rack up some catches. But we saw it on the, you know, in the Super Bowl run that Flacco made, the Ravens made. Flacco's go-to guy was Boldin, and he's just so good at boxing out, going up and getting the football. Obviously, he's so tough with the way he's been able to, you know, make these plays over the middle for, you know, all his entire career and stay healthy enough to get 50 catches a year. So definitely an underrated talent, and even as he gets older, still very efficient because he's just such a good possession type of receiver. Knows how to use his body, knows how to catch the ball.
No doubt about it. That's Steve Palazzolo. He writes for Pro Football Focus, ESPN.com. And follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Steve. Hey, Steve, thanks for taking some time on the weekend, for coming on the show again, and we look forward to catching up with you again.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, Steve Palazzolo. Remember, PFF_Steve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.